Turn with me, if you would, to John 15. John 15. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to skip a few verses here and there, but beginning in verse 1, John 15. This is Jesus' words. I am the true vine. Now, I want to stop a second. Many times in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was referred to as the vine. And so Jesus is actually tying into that imagery that comes from the Old Testament. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. Anybody ever been pruned? Verse 4. Remain in me, Jesus says, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. In verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And the tag on that is, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Interesting, this is kind of a side note. Not really going there so much in my message today, but it's interesting that Jesus says here, you know, we would think that we ask in God's name and in Christ's name and that we get fruit. But Jesus flips those and he says, abide in me, you will bear fruit, and then what you ask will be given. Hello? Anybody besides me a little bit struck by that? Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask that you, Holy Spirit, would speak in power and authority, and that you would change us, convict us, in the name of Jesus, amen. Approximately 4 years ago, Cheryl and I, about 6 years ago, we bought a new house built a house, and we were doing our landscaping and all. And about 4 years ago or so, we bought some oak trees, some red oak trees. That's really probably our favorite kind of tree. And these were pretty good sized trees, but kind of do-it-yourself trees. I was able to wrestle them out of the pickup and dig the hole and plant them and all. And we planted these trees in the backyard, and that was around 4 years ago. I want to show you one of those trees. I took that yesterday, I believe, and it's coming along. It's coming along. It's starting to establish a root system, and it looks good and healthy. And in fact, just this week, we began to see just one or two leaves beginning to turn for the winter. And probably with the cold weather coming this week, we may see more of that by week's end. But here's the problem. Here's one of the other trees. Cheryl planted that one. Just a joke. I planted both of them. But last year, at the end of the year, you can see the right side there, all died, and the left side was still alive, and so we just, it wasn't coming back this last spring. It wasn't coming back, so we just pruned that whole right side, and it kind of left for, you know, it looks really good if you hold your head just kind of like this. But then, middle of this year, and we're watering these. Cheryl actually is the waterer, and she's watering these trees equally and all, but that left side bit the dust this year. So we have a new tree coming. It should be here in the next couple of weeks that we're going to replace that. And guess what that one is now? Firewood. That tree will soon be converted to firewood. You know, continue the sermon series. In fact, conclude the sermon series today go. Today's message is go and bear fruit. You know, Christ has called us to be a fruitful people. To look like that first tree, not the second tree. In fact, he has a word for people that look like that second tree. Firewood. I mean, that's literally what Jesus says will happen to those types of fruit-bearing trees. And I want you to note the green sheet in your bulletin this morning. This is the last installment. We're going to have this filled out, this dine sheet filled out, and I'll have copies of these on the two tables going forward. But today we're talking about these are kind of the ministry models that we have as we try to do ministry in our church and try to coordinate that and so forth. And that left-hand column is our deploy column. And if you'll notice there, the scripture under the deploy column says to go and bear fruit. And if you'll look at, beginning in the invite column, look at that, the second line right underneath each one of those names, right under invites, you see preparing the soil to invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ and to invite them into a relationship with this body of believers. And then the nurture is to plant the seed, to cast the seed. The equip is to go and make disciples, to fertilize the plant, to nurture it and to make it healthy. And then finally today, the deploy column is to harvest the crop, to go and bear fruit. And you can see there some different committees and so forth that we have set aside to try to do that. I want to read to you a little story that I ran across. This is from a man that wrote this, Leighton Ford, is I believe how you pronounce his name. But he's a longtime associate with Billy Graham. I don't know if y'all noticed, Billy Graham turned 95 Thursday. Did you know that? And still going strong, still speaking for the Lord and bringing people to the Lord. That's just amazing. But Leighton Ford, a longtime associate, was associated with him through his evangelism crusades, and he writes this. He says, I was speaking at an open-air crusade in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Billy Graham was to speak the next night and had arrived a day early. He came incognito. Wouldn't you love that? Look around, and there's Billy Graham sitting beside you out in the bleachers. He came incognito and sat on the grass at the rear of the crowd. He was wearing a hat and dark glasses. No one recognized him. Directly in front of him sat an elderly gentleman who seemed to be listening intently to my presentation. When I invited people to come forward as an open sign of commitment, Billy decided to do a little personal evangelism. He tapped the man on the shoulder and asked, would you like to accept Christ? I'll be glad to walk down with you if you want to. The old man looked him up and down, thought it over for a moment, and then said, nah, I think I'll just wait till the big gun comes out tomorrow night. Is that how we view fruit bearing? Is that how we view evangelism? Is it's the big gun's job? And y'all heard me say this before. I know it's kind of goofy, but, you know, is it I'm paid to be good and you're good for nothing? Is that the way this works? Yeah, I think I'll wait for the big gun to come out. That person really needs Jesus. They really need the hope that Christ offers, but I think I'll just let the big gun handle that. Somebody who's paid to be good. No, church. Christ, in 2 Corinthians, he tells us, Christ has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. He has called us as Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's mouthpiece. We are Christ's spokesman. We are Christ's ambassadors to a hurting world, as though God were making his appeal through us. That's what God's word tells us. I want to look a little closer at this passage in John 15. One of my favorite passages. I love the imagery of that. Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. The first thing Jesus says that, you, not just me, but you, all of each one of us, has been handpicked by Jesus. Jesus says that you have been handpicked by him. He says in verse 16, the first part of that, he says, you did not choose me, I chose you I chose you. We have been hand-picked, hand-selected by Christ himself. Second thing, Jesus says that you have been hand-picked for a purpose. Not just to get our ticket. Does everybody have their ticket? Their heaven ticket? Does everybody have their heaven ticket? Is that what the Christian journey is? Is that we just get our ticket? As long as we hold on to our ticket stub, we're good? No. He has handpicked us with a purpose. What's the purpose? He tells us in 16, the second half of verse 16. I appointed you, I've chosen you, I've appointed you to go and bear fruit. We are called, church, to be fruitful. Not just any fruit, but he says fruit that will last. Now, we do that in many different ways, but I've said this to us before that, you know, it's good that we work at food pantries, and here in a couple of weeks we're going to be passing out turkeys to people that are needy and are going to be blessed by that. And we build houses and we do a lot of different things that blesses people. And those are important things. But unless we offer the good news of Jesus Christ, we are fruitless. When we went to Granbury a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, you know, I reminded the guys, we're not here just to build a house. We're not here to just remodel this house, but we're here to share the love of Christ. And what was so incredible is the minute we walked in, Tim, remind me of the guy's name. Steve that was coordinating the project desperately needed the encouragement and the hope of Christ. Here's this guy that's coordinating this relief effort to build this house, and Steve was desperate for people to love him and accept him and show him the love of Christ. And so I believe with all my heart, we didn't really go down there to remodel a house. We went down there to bless Steve. We went down there to show the love of Christ. We went down there to bear fruit that lasts. Fruit that lasts. The only fruit that lasts is the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus told the lady, the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, he said that everyone who, she's thinking that he wants a physical drink at this well, and he says everyone who drinks this water, this physical water, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him, and he's speaking of spiritual life, spiritual water, will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you understand, church, that we have what the world needs? You have what the world needs. It's the hope of Jesus Christ. Because that will see you through any circumstance that you face. Any circumstance you face. And I pray, Joey, I pray that this young man's family knows Christ. I pray that they lost their son this morning walking down the road, and that quickly he was taken. I pray that they have the hope of Jesus Christ, because that will get them through it. That will get them through it. Third thing Jesus tells us in this passage is that he is the source of good fruit. It doesn't come out of our worthiness. It doesn't come out of our best intentions. You know what the scripture says about our best intentions? Anybody know? They're but filthy rags. The best we are, the best we can conjure up, is but filthy rags to God. Now, we need the good news of Jesus Christ. He is the source of good fruit. He says in verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Church, if we are serving in the flesh, if all we're doing is we're trying to help people in a physical way, that's not fruit that will last. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you, and he's speaking to us, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We must be attached to the vine. He must be at the very core of who we are. You know, he's my uncle Carol has gone to be with Jesus by now, but a few years ago, I remember that he was over at Mom and Dad's house, and I can't even remember the circumstances. For some reason, Dad was at that time was not able to mow and trim, and Uncle Carol, Mom and Dad had this this pole out in the backyard that it was actually a guideline that went from a telephone pole out in the alley, and it was kind of weird, but it came into their backyard, and it was kind of ugly, and it was supporting this pole. And so Mom, you know, like girls do, the chicks do this. She planted like some mistletoe or something that wrapped, went up, crawled up the wire so that wire would be prettier. Men would never think of that. You know, we'd hang our shotgun shells off of it or something. You know, but she had this mistletoe that climbed up this pole to make it more bearable to be in the backyard. And Uncle Carol, he's trimming away. He's trimming away. And guess what he nipped? The little root of that mistletoe. And about a few hours later, Mama was not happy. Mama was not happy. That mistletoe had begun to die because it had been severed from its source. It had been severed from its source. Jesus says, don't do it alone, that He is our source. If we forget that, church, we are just a gang, a resounding gong. We're just a clanging cymbal unless we remember the source. Now, He also tells us to not go it alone. To not go it alone. That He's the source, but He also gives us one another. I want you to, if you would, take out, probably some of you, I'm sure, we had so many inserts today, I'm sure nobody's even listening to me right now anyway, you're reading. But anyway, take out the little insert that says One Kingdom. I want to explain that to you. That is a group of pastors and churches and city leaders that have committed to one another as the body of Christ to pray over our city, to pray that God would bring blessings on our city, that God would bring blessings on our churches and on our city government. And you can see there on the leadership page, we've got pastors from all different denominations. We've got the chief of police is on that leadership team. Mark Hewitt, Love and Care Ministries, and that's just the leadership team. We have people, we've had our fire chief has come to these what we call prayer summits where we come together and we pray over our city. We've had city councilmen, we've had just from all sorts of nonprofits have been out there. But the purpose of this is to pray blessings on our city. Did you know that I just believe that we are stronger when we are together, when we are united as the body of Christ? Did you know that while the United Methodist Church we're not going to change the world all by ourselves? And Christ did not establish while the United Methodist Church, I love our church. I love our church. I love it like crazy. But Christ established His church, the church. And we're just one little piece of that. We're just one little piece of that. And He has said, I'm the source, and I have called you as my people, the church, to be unified. Listen to Luke chapter 10. This is Jesus, and I find this really interesting. Leading up to this passage, it says that Jesus turned His face towards Jerusalem, knowing He's on His way to Jerusalem to go to the cross. And it says, He knew what awaited Him. It says, He turned His face to Jerusalem, and He headed towards Jerusalem, and He was steadfast in that journey. And so as Jesus is heading to the cross, here in Luke chapter 10, he does this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two. Why don't you think He sent them out by themselves? Because He understood that there was strength together. He sent them out two by two ahead of Him to every town and place where He was to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Here's that word again, go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Christ is, the Christian life is one of action. It's one of intentionality. Go. Fourth thing Jesus tells us in this passage today. Jesus says that good fruit brings God glory. I want to show those two pictures again real quick. Which one of these you think Cheryl and I are most proud to show you? Somebody wake Lee up back there. I mean, is it that one? Or is it this other one? I mean, you know, I don't know about Cheryl, but that little scrawny thing kind of, that's 4 years worth of prime care right there. We're proud to display that one, you know. If we could put that on our mantle, we would. You know, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Cheryl likes to garden. You know, I've told you all that. And she's trying to grow some tomatoes and has gotten a pretty good crop this year. And she's really never had a whole lot of success with tomatoes, but has gotten a pretty good crop. She had this big, luscious tomato out there that she was so excited about. I mean, she was just excited about this tomato. She was waiting for it to ripen, you know. And she went out there to pick it one day. And it was just right. Big, red. Man, she went and reached down there to pick it up. And she lifted it up, and the whole bottom was just eaten out of it. And I believe her response was, "Dang it!" Something like that. I'm telling on my wife. But is that us? I mean, do we present the side to everyone that looks like, you know, this abundant fruit, but when God lifts it up, what's it look like? Would our fruit bring God glory? And I mean, Cheryl's got the tomatoes that weren't eaten up. She's got them in there, and they're proudly displayed. Right, there's a window right above her sink, and she's got them up on the windowsill until she uses them. And every time you go to the sink, she's like, "Look at these tomatoes." She's proud of those tomatoes. She wants to show them off because they bring her efforts glory. That she's cared for them and she's nurtured them. That's the way it is with Christ. He wants God to receive glory through the fruit that we bear. Church, God is calling us to be fruit bearers. So I want to talk just a second. As I close here, I want to talk about why we don't do that. Why we don't do that. We make excuses. And I'm hitting on some of them. I probably won't hit on all of them. But I think the first one is fear. I'm afraid. If we're honest, I really think that many of us, I'm afraid if I'm too bold with my faith, it could cause me problems at work. And it could. It very well could. I'm fearful of how people will react. I'm inadequate. I just don't know what to say. I don't know. I mean, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to bear fruit, but I really don't think I'm worthy of that. I'm not up for the task. I'm not perfect. Well, welcome to the club. You know, God is not calling us as perfect people. He's calling us as redeemed people. And, you know, I did it a few weeks ago. I had three of you stepped up here and shared this. Like, you know, the way we bear fruit is we love people and we just tell our story. We just tell people what Christ has done for us. If he's gotten you through a tough time, you just tell people that. It's like, man, let me tell you what Christ did for me. We're not perfect, but we're redeemed. I might mess up is another excuse. I might not do it right. Here's another one. I don't know enough. I don't know enough of the Bible. Well, do you know Jesus loves me, this I know? I mean, do you know that? You know enough. You know enough. Jesus said we don't have to worry about all these excuses. He said, remain in me. Abide in me and you will bear fruit. Abide in me and you will bear fruit. I wonder if you would, if the praise team will make their way back up. If you'll just bow your heads for just a minute. Ask the Lord, church, ask the Lord how you're doing at bearing fruit. You know, if we're not abiding in the vine, if we're not attached to the very root ball of our faith, Jesus Christ, and we end up looking like that old nasty old tree that turns into firewood. Ask him how you're doing. Father, we confess to you that too many times it's all about us. And I confess that to you. That we're so consumed with our busyness and our schedule and our details that we forget the big picture. That you want us to bear fruit and you want us to bring the Father glory. May our lives bring you glory. May we be that sort of people, Lord. If there's specific people then that you want to point out in our minds, Father, do it now. Show us who you would have us to minister to love on your behalf. Teach us to abide in you, Jesus. Teach us to remain attached to the vine. Show us, reveal to us the places where we aren't. If our fruit is pretty on one side and eaten up and rotten on the other side, show us. Father, we thank you that you are the vine and that you love us enough sometimes to prune us, God, so that we will be fruitful. We surrender to you, God. We surrender ourselves to you, our lives to you. If you need to prune us, prune us. We want to bring you glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would stand if you're able to as we close. If you would like to come and be prayed for or the altar, or if you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would love nothing more than to visit with you about that. So come.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my prayer. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my, I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of all the nations are awakening to sing. From my heart there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the heavy dream. This is our song. song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
I just want to invite you after we close, if there's anyone that would like to be prayed for or would like to stay, you can come forward here. And Billy and I and the prayer team, we will stay and pray with anyone that would like to do that. It is to the Father's glory that we bear much fruit. Go and bear fruit and go and tell someone. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Sing that chorus again. Let the worshipers arise.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.